Roger Moe was the majority leader in Minnesota's Senate when compacts that would last forever were ratified in 1989 by the legislature and former Governor Rudy Perpich. Since then, Moe says there have been several attempts by both Minnesota and tribal officials to reopen casino agreements.
And I would suspect that there's going to continue to be pressure to open them up, particularly if we continue to have budget problems.
That's why the state would want to review and renegotiate the compacts, but some Native Americans also have wanted changes. Most of the tribes without a casino, or a lucrative one, felt shorted.
But then that has a lot to do with the markets and where they're located. And then, of course, during times of recession, if you take a look at the history of expansion of gaming in the country, illegal gaming, it usually happens when there are recessions and there are budget problems, and states look to gambling as a non-tax revenue source.
Back in 1989, Minnesota struck a deal giving the state money only for casino enforcement. Otherwise, the state doesn't get a cut of gambling profits. Critics of the deal Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle worked out with the Potawatomi say the state's share is too small. However, the federal gaming law does not require tribes to share at all. Gambling is supposed to be the tribe's economic development. Mark Van Norman is executive director of the National Indian Gaming Association, an advocacy group for tribes.
It is recognized that tribes need opportunities to generate tribal government revenue. And in negotiating compacts, if the state were to ask for direct taxation, it's considered bad faith. And what's developed over time is a revenue sharing concept where when the tribes have exclusivity as to certain games, then there may be a benefit to the tribe that justifies a revenue-sharing agreement, but that's not the norm.
In Wisconsin, there's tension between Tavern League supporters who want video gambling, which is currently illegal, and those who support the tribe's virtual monopoly on gaming. Some Wisconsin legislators oppose having compacts, which allow the Potawatomi new games, to compete with those offered in nearby casinos and those as far away as Canada. Republican Representative Jeff Fitzgerald from Beaver Dam says his constituents are unnerved by this expansion of gambling and also state compacts that would last forever.
A perpetual compact is something that I think scares the citizens of Wisconsin as well. So what I'm trying to do is kind of do a compromise.
Fitzgerald and others want the governor to give up unilateral power in negotiating Indian gaming compacts longer than 15 years. And Fitzgerald thinks agreements that last forever can present problems.
We've seen states that neighbor us, such as Minnesota, that have them that, you know, it's really turned into a nightmare for them.
Nightmare is hardly the word Frank Ball would use. He's director of gambling enforcement for the state of Minnesota.
I don't know what he means by that. We've got a good working rapport with all 17 casinos, and they run them as professional businesses.
And these professional businesses are doing so well, the state of Minnesota is considering opening up its own casino to compete. A current racetrack would become a racino, complete with video slot machines. This expansion of gambling alarms some, but many states like New York, California, and Wisconsin, to name a few, are willing to overlook concerns about possible crime and other problems associated with gambling. That's because there's a need to fill state coffers during poor economic times. And sometimes politicians feel gambling is a better bet than raising taxes. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.